Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. A new forum bringing together Donegal County Council, the Department of Housing and approved housing bodies is to be established. Derry Magistrates Court heard today that a preliminary hearing in the case of a priest charged with sex offences has been set for next week. The HSE has confirmed the tender for crucial works at Buncrana Community Hospital has now been issued, and a man's been arrested in connection with the placing of a replica mosque on a bonfire in County Tyrone. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have an update of all the sport with Mark Gallagher at about a quarter to six. But first, a new forum bringing together Donegal County Council, the Department of Housing and approved housing bodies is to be established to improve cooperation on the delivery of social housing. The proposal was approved at this week's meeting of the Council's Housing Strategic Policy Committee. The new platform is aimed at strengthening collaboration between the key organisations involved in housing delivery. Cathaoirle of the committee, Councillor Liam Blaney, says it will bring a number of benefits.
Benefits it would have the county is that it would keep people informed about the changing needs of people on the housing waiting list and new people that comes on it, and keep them informed of changing legislation or any new legislation will come through, that they know the types of social housing that families need, where exactly that is the biggest need is for it, and see if they can overcome the challenges that delays or slows down housing delivery within the county. And I suppose one of the biggest things that they will try and do is see if they explore ways of to deliver housing, including the homeless accommodation, affordable homes, and the cost rentals and things like that.
And within the meeting itself, was there much support for this idea?
Yeah, there was full support for it. Nobody spoke against it. Everybody thought it would be a very good idea. And especially when they're going to be consulting with it, and keep the councillors informed as well, I think it's an important part of it as anything else.
So in...
The people on the ground at the end of the day. And they'll be able to take a lot of information to these meetings as well, I think. And I think it's very important that councillors are involved and are part of it.
So we should now, in the next few months at least, see this greater dialogue and greater partnership and teamworking, say, start to develop through the council?
Yes, I think maybe they hope to try and have the first one maybe around September time or the holiday time, and all over again. September, October, I think it'll be wise to wait till that to make sure as many people as possible from each group will be able to attend and have this meeting.
Derry Magistrates Court heard today that a preliminary inquiry in the case of a priest charged with sex offences has been set for next week. Edward Gallagher, 59, of Orchard Park in Lifford, had been charged with one count of attempted sexual communication with a child on dates between April 2nd and April 17th, 2025, and seven further offences, including inciting a child to engage in sexual activity and causing a child to watch sexual activity on April 17th of last year, as well as charges of possessing indecent images of children. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
At today's sitting, Derwin Harvey, defence solicitor for Gallagher, told the court that while a date had been fixed for July 16th, he had yet to receive any papers in the case. A prosecutor told the court that the papers had been collected by the PSNI, and so there was no reason why a preliminary inquiry could not go ahead on July 16th, which is this day week. Mr Harvey told the court he could accept service of the papers, and the committal proceedings have now been fixed for this coming Thursday. Gallagher remains in custody at McGarrabury Prison and appeared at today's hearing via video link.
The HSE has confirmed the tender for crucial works at Buncrana Community Hospital has now been issued following an update last evening that it did not go out. Political and community representatives have been informed this afternoon of the quick change after it was anticipated this would happen next week. There is now renewed hope that contractors will be in place for works to begin in September. Councillor Fiona Bradley has welcomed the long-awaited development.
Well, as of lunchtime today, Donna Marie, I'm delighted to be able to confirm that the tender for the works at Buncrana Community Hospital has been published and is now live on e-tenders. So the ball is finally rolling and the process has now started. That process of tendering will take somewhere in the region of 6 to 8 weeks, and I would be very hopeful we'll have a contractor appointed by the autumn, with works began by the end of the year. So this is a really, really positive step, and it's just the best news in relation to Buncrana Community Hospital.
Councillor Jack Murray adds that it is a point of frustration to receive mixed messaging so close together about delays, but is hopeful about progress.
particularly when the messages are about delays and frustrations and further setbacks. Clearly something has changed quite quickly between 11:30 last night and this afternoon, that they now have gone to e-tender. But look, the main thing, as far as I can see it, is it has gone to e-tender. We have got that breakthrough. So now hopefully we will get contractors applying within the 6-week window. We'll get a contractor in place and ultimately get diggers on the ground ASAP, because look, the delays to this community hospital have real human consequences, real impact on the lives of people in our community. So it's in everybody's interest that we all work together, get our shoulder on the wheel and get this long-awaited project over the line.
A man's been arrested in connection with the placing of a replica mosque on a bonfire in Moygashal, County Tyrone. The same bonfire also caused controversy last year when an effigy of migrants in a boat was placed on top. Human rights group Amnesty International is calling the display vile. The pyres are lit in loyalist areas every year in Northern Ireland ahead of the 12th of July celebrations. A man in his 50s being questioned by the PSNI on the public order charge. Local Sinn Féin MLA Colm Gildenry is condemning the act.
A deplorable act of hatred being depicted on this bonfire, absolutely disgraceful, and has to be condemned by everyone. This has nothing to do with culture, this is everything to do with hatred. This is a display of hatred. It's hurtful, it's causing extreme fear across the area for families, individuals, children seeing these images on this bonfire.
Three vehicles were seized and a number of fixed charge penalty notices were issued during a Garda day of action yesterday. This took place in Lifford and the surrounding areas. Gardaí have urged motorists to ensure that all documentation is up to date and that vehicles are in a roadworthy condition before taking to the roads. Work to stabilise 26 social homes affected by defective concrete in Buncrana is expected to take around 16 weeks, weather permitting. Donegal County Council's decision to carry out temporary repair works has faced criticism, with concerns raised that the houses need to be fully remediated under the government's planned redress scheme for local authority homes, which still is to be unveiled. Not all of the affected properties across the three estates will receive the works. The council says some homes have deteriorated too far and their tenants will instead be offered alternative accommodation, although details of those arrangements have yet to be confirmed. Assistant Senior Engineer for Housing Capital with Donegal County Council, Donal Walker, told Donna Marie Doherty on today's Greg Hughes Show that the works are not intended to be a permanent solution.
The band-aid on the gaping wound is probably a fair enough way of describing it. It is interim measures to hold these houses for in the short term for maybe 2, 3, even 4 or 5 years. But I suppose we have a duty of care to our tenants. And we have a duty of care to maintain the property that they're in a reasonable state that doesn't get into a state of disrepair. There's that argument. Now, what we would also say, Donna Marie, is that we fully intend to recoup this from the department. This work has been done. Because I suppose there isn't a scheme at the moment for social housing. If there had been a scheme a number of years ago, we probably wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. But at the same time, I suppose we've been working very hard with the department. Our members have been working very hard, our Oireachtas members, to try and get a scheme that's fit for purpose. And we just don't have that yet. And I suppose there's a sense of frustration there. Our members are frustrated. The officials are frustrated, the staff in the area offices that are dealing with the people maybe that are phoning in, maybe unhappy with particular issues within the houses that they're living. So we have to try and deal with that, and the only way to do that in the absence of a scheme is to repair some of the houses and then look for alternative accommodation for others.
Strabane has been shortlisted in the competition to become UK Town of Culture 2028. The town's bid is just one of 15 selected from almost 400 applications. Derry City and Strabane District Council says reaching the shortlist marks a significant milestone and represents a once-in-a-generation opportunity for the border town. The council says the bid has the potential to drive economic regeneration, boost confidence in the town centre and attract significant national investment. A Midlands Northwest MEP is calling on Taoiseach Micheál Martin to outline what practical benefits of Ireland's presidency of the EU Council will bring to rural Ireland. Speaking as the Taoiseach appeared before MEPs, Ciarán Mullooly told Micheál Martin the forthcoming EU budget will decide the future funding for CAP, cohesion, rural development, SMEs, housing, fisheries and regional supports. He challenged the Taoiseach directly on what concrete protection Ireland will defend now at the beginning of the peripheral and rural regions, and warned that competitiveness must not be focused on mainly on big cities, big industry and centralised national plans.
Taoiseach, one of your priorities for Ireland's presidency is to strengthen Europe's competitiveness while protecting balanced regional development. As you begin today to steer the negotiations on the new long-term EU budget, will you commit that Ireland will not support a deal which sidelines cohesion and rural development funds in favour of narrowly defined competitiveness spending? And can you spell out one concrete safeguard you will defend to protect our peripheral and island regions like the Midlands Northwest of Ireland? Your values, your shared values, we will test them in the coming months, Taoiseach. We look for human dignity when it comes to housing in particular. You know the focus, you know the crisis upon us with 15,000 people homeless in Ireland and 5,000 children. You know we need to work harder on this. And if there is to be a right to stay, Taoiseach, in the regions of Ireland, then we need a common agricultural policy which gives all of our farmers a livelihood going forward, the small farmers and the large ones. That must be your legacy, Taoiseach, from this presidency.
The DUP has published details of what it's calling a focused independent review, which has been commissioned. It's looking to establish what was known within the party about Geoffrey Donaldson's conduct. The former leader was convicted last month of a series of sex offences against two women when they were children. The DUP says the review will be carried out by a specialist multidisciplinary team and will be conducted entirely independent of the party. Gaeltacht housing campaign groups are calling on the Minister for Housing and the Minister for the Gaeltacht to announce a public consultation before the end of the month to address what they say are significant shortcomings contained in the draft national planning statement for the Gaeltacht. The groups say regulations that would weaken the Gaeltacht cannot be accepted. Donal Kavanagh has more.
According to Tinthorn, Banu and Conor na Gaeilge, certain provisions in the draft statement, which was published last week, are fundamentally flawed and would have serious consequences for the existing protections afforded to the Irish language in Gaeltacht areas, particularly in relation to multi-unit housing developments and planning policy. They say after waiting 5 years for these planning guidelines from the Department of Housing and the Department of Rural and Community Development of Gaeltacht and the Islands, it's deeply disappointing that the statement proposes weaker planning conditions, which they claim have no sociolinguistic basis. The groups say if these proposals are not changed, they will undermine language planning efforts and undo over 20 years of work undertaken by Gaeltacht communities with the support of the department and Uluru na Gaeltacht. They're calling for a public consultation to commence before the end of this month to give communities a meaningful opportunity to influence the final policy.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 here in Highland Radio, and it's time to go over to the sports desk and say good evening to Mark Gallagher.
Thank you, Ryan. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Derry City begin their Europa League qualifying campaign this evening in Bulgaria. Tiernan Lynch's Candy Stripes are away to CSKA Sofia for the first leg of their round one clash. New Dutch signing Nick Twisk has been included in the squad for tonight's game, which gets underway from 7 o'clock Irish time. Derry captain Michael Duffy wants to park their rocky league form and grab this European opportunity.
The league's been up and down, definitely hasn't went the way we've wanted it to go, but we break away from that now. We'll come back to that near the end of the month and we need to put things right, but as for now, the European stage of season is probably the most exciting part of the season for ourselves, you know, what you can achieve for the fans to get the trips away and stuff like this, and we just enjoy every minute of it, and we go on and have that belief that we can pull off something great within the next few weeks.
That's Derry captain Michael Duffy, and as part of the score programme this evening, we'll be going live to reporter Kevin McLaughlin in Sofia for Derry's fixture with CSKA. Also on the show, Joe Boyle will take a look at Finn Harp's clash with Treaty United in the League of Ireland First Division tomorrow night. We'll speak with Donegal native Gavin Carlin, who is bringing several teams from the US to the Northwest for this year's Foyle Cup competition. Plus, we'll hear about a unique football tournament on the island of Inishbofin this weekend. That's all coming up, part of the score programme after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Elsewhere, Bohemians welcome St Joseph's of Gibraltar to Dalymount Park for the opening leg of their Conference League qualifier. That game kicks off at 6:30, while at Linfield are in Estonia taking on Naumkeagu, and Glentoran have home advantage against Latvia's RFS. The FIFA World Cup quarterfinals begin this evening as France face Morocco at 9 o'clock. France are unbeaten in the tournament so far with 5 wins from their 5 matches, while Morocco have bounced back after their opening day draw against Brazil to win all of their next 4 fixtures. England midfielder Morgan Rodgers has called Erling Haaland unstoppable ahead of Saturday's World Cup quarterfinal against Norway. The Manchester City striker has 7 goals already. Only Lionel Messi has more, and Rodgers says Haaland's supply has to be cut off.
Has anyone ever stopped Erling Haaland? I'm not sure they have, but we're going to try. You're going to have to try, I think. He's such an unbelievable player. The things he does, the numbers he puts up, you're just in awe of how good he is and the level he's at. We're going to have to maybe try and stop how they play.
Meanwhile, England defender Gerald Quansah has been given a two-match ban after his sending off in their last 16 tie against Mexico. He will miss that quarter-final against Norway on Saturday and then the semi-final if they progress. England do have the right to appeal. Ringmahon Rangers have been banned from the FAI Cup for 5 years and the FAI Intermediate Cup for 3 years. They've also been given a €5,000 fine. This comes after they gave Bohemians a walkover in the second round of the FAI Cup. Moving on to golf, Rory McIlroy is one of four players on 5 under par at the top of the Scottish Open leaderboard following an impressive first round at the Renaissance Club. Shane Lowry went around in 71 to finish on 1 over par, while Padraig Harrington will start his round, second round on 4 over. Tom McKibben is 3 under through 16 holes. In tennis, Karolina Muchova has reached her first ever Grand Slam final at Wimbledon. The Czech 10th seed beat Coco Gauff 12-10 in a third set tiebreaker earlier. It was a match full of tension and nerves, with temperatures reaching the mid-30s on centre court. Muchova described it as a roller coaster as both players missed chances to win it.
In 10 seconds you have a match point, then your match point down. It's no time to think, but very nerve-wracking. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm really kind of shaking and trying to sink it in, but the atmosphere here, indescribable.
Marta Kostyuk and Linda Noskova are going head-to-head in the other semi-final. Noskova took the first set 6-4 and is also now a break up in the second set. In Gaelic games in the Donegal All-County League Division 2 this evening, Neave Columba make their longest journey of the year, a 290km round trip to the northern tip of Inishowen. Mallon host the Glencullen Kills side at 8 o'clock. Neave Columba are already in the final and promoted, while Mallon have to win their remaining two games if they're to be in with a shout of making the decider and moving up to the top flight. Finally, for this evening in cricket, the North West Warriors are in action against Leinster Lightning in the Interprovincial One Day Cup at Pembroke in Dublin. The Warriors batted first and were all out for 259. Lightning are at 227 for the loss of 3 wickets in the 38th over of their chase. That is all your sport for now, but I will be back with the score between 7 and 8 this evening. Ryan.
Thank you very much, Mark. And the weather, a mix of cloud and a few sunny spells this evening. Cloudiest in the west, mostly cloudy tonight with some mist and fog on coast. Lowest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees and light northerly or variable breezes. Tomorrow will be quite cloudy at first with the chance of a shower, brightening up as the day goes on. Highest temperatures 19 to 23 degrees. Northerly winds will become light to moderate. A look back on today's main stories. A new forum bringing together Donegal County Council, the Department of Housing and approved housing bodies is set to be established to improve cooperation on the delivery of social housing. The proposal was approved at this week's meeting of the Council's Housing Strategic Policy Committee. The new platform is aimed at strengthening collaboration between the key organisations involved in housing delivery across the county. Chairman of the committee, Councillor Liam Blaney, says it will bring a number of benefits. Derry Magistrates Court heard today that a preliminary inquiry in the case of a priest charged with sex offences has been set for next week. 59-year-old Edward Gallagher of Orchard Park in Lifford had been charged with one count of attempted sexual communication with a child on dates between April 2nd and April 17th, 2025, and 7 further offences, including inciting a child to engage in sexual activity and causing a child to watch sexual activity on April 17th of last year, as well as charges of possessing indecent images of children. Full details of that report can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. The HSE has confirmed the tender for crucial works at Buncrana Community Hospital has now been issued, following an update last evening that it did not go out. Political and community representatives have been informed this afternoon of the quick change, after it was anticipated that this would now happen next week. There is now renewed hope that contractors will be in place for works to begin in September. Councillor Fionnuam Bradley has welcomed the long-awaited development, while Councillor Jack Murray adds that it is a point of frustration to receive mixed messages on delays, but he is hopeful about progress. And a man's been arrested in connection with the placing of a replica mosque on a bonfire in Moygashal, County Tyrone. The same bonfire also caused controversy last year when an effigy of migrants in a boat was placed on top. Human rights group Amnesty International is calling the display vile. The pyres are lit in loyalist areas every year in Northern Ireland ahead of the 12th of July parades. A man in his 50s is being questioned by the PSNI on public order charges. Local Sinn Féin MLA Colm Gildenry is condemning the act. And that's all for the newsroom for now. You can keep up to date with all the latest on our website, highlandradio.com. Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore will be after this evening's obituary notices, and we'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, July the 9th. The death has taken place of Margaret Cutliffe, 12 Lisowen Avenue, Buncrana. Remains reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home with viewing from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. today and 12 noon until 4 p.m. tomorrow. Funeral from there on Saturday at 10:40 a.m. going to St Mary's Church Cock Hill for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Con Doherty, Mahara Gallan, Derrybeg. His remains will repose at his home today until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Con's funeral mass will take place on Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluce. Burial afterwards in Mahara Gallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Mary McLaughlin, Nae Callaghan, Manny, Trena Tubber, Coldaff. Mary's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 9:45 for 10:30 funeral mass in St Patrick's Church, Ochaclea, followed by burial in Bochan Cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Breast Care Centre Northwest, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of John, the Gaffer Gallagher, Dunmore, Fulcara. Reposing at the family home today until rosary at 9 p.m. and again tomorrow from 10 a.m. until rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in Chapobal Ní Fionnán, Fulcara, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. House strictly private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice. Funeral mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. The death has taken place of Neil Shields, Fanna Vulti, Fanad, reposing at his late residence with rosary tonight at 9 p.m. Requiem mass in St Mary's Church, Fanna Vulti, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Tammany Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The Requiem Mass will be recorded and available to view on the Macketeer Funeral Director's Facebook page tomorrow afternoon. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by K&F Superwools Kilmacrenan. Paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views, here with me, Chris Ashmore. In a few moments, I'll be finding out about how a young Rafoe woman is carrying out research on farming knowledge, attitude and behaviour towards blue tongue, as part of doing a master's. But first, this evening, a recent IFA meeting in Letterkenny on the 10T Roads project heard that it will impact on 475 property owners and involve the compulsory purchase of 1,470 acres of land by Donegal County Council in conjunction with Transport Infrastructure Ireland. The 10T Roads project, costing in the region of €1 billion, will see a significant upgrading of a number of national primary routes. Section 1 concerns the Balbafaith Tranorlar area, effectively a bypass. Section 2 is in relation to the Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham Road, including the Bonagee Link, and works around the Lurgy Brack and Dromore area. While Section 3 is from Manor Cunningham on to Lifford and Strabann, with a link to the A5. Richard Ray, agricultural consultant, made a detailed presentation invitation to the meeting covering all aspects of a compensation claim. Meanwhile, the IFA Infrastructure Project Team Chair Paul O'Brien told the meeting that the IFA had negotiated an updated roads agreement with Transport Infrastructure Ireland. It covers all essential aspects of the CPO, as well as an additional goodwill payment of €6,500 per acre. Joe Sweeney is the chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, and he's been telling me about the meeting and indeed the whole process. It will mean disruption and loss of land for many, but I began by putting it to him that the compensation on offer for farmers could be seen as a fairly generous package.
Yeah, there would be, Chris, there would be. Look, it's a great project. Badly needed, to be honest with you. Not so much for the farmers that are losing a vast amount of land to it. No one wants to see that happen. And maybe some farms, the severity of the cut is worse because it could be going straight through a farm where it's severely impacted. But in saying that, in a case like that, the compensation would even be higher than where someone is losing it in the corner of a farm or a smaller piece or whatever. The IFA have an agreement since December 2023 with Infrastructure Ireland, and that sort of is what they call a goodwill payment. So that there comes to an additional $6,500 agreed as a top-up per acre for every acre lost in the project and any of the roads or water or whatever. But in this case, it's in the county's roads.
I suppose there's not one size that fits all, because some people will have different things. There's going to be the assessment on the open market value. There's going to be different parcels of land. So it's quite a complicated process.
It is quite complicated. It's not one fit to fit all. Because it'll all depend on the farm, the enterprise, the loss of the farm, the loss of wages or the loss of income. And that's basically what it comes down to, is how the farmer's income will be lost due to the loss of land. And some of them are dependent on stocking rates and depend on enterprise types, whatever. It'll be all measured different. We would have had a lot of to-ing and fro-ing from farmers already, but the whole thing is any farmer that hasn't been in contact with someone to represent them, to look for a deal, if they're losing land, then they need to make that call and get someone to represent them. Someone that has a lot of experience and a lot of expertise in the whole process of evaluations and dealings with the loss of land and that sort of stuff. Richard Ray and Kevin Kinsella were there at the meeting the last night, and they were putting to the meeting what was needed and what had to be done. And Richard Ray would have a lot of clients actually, and he has lads working for him as well. So the whole message would be anyone that hasn't made contact to make contact.
And for farmers, you know, this is a maybe something they've never dealt with before. Is there a lot of red tape, or do you think it can be something that can go through without too many hiccups?
I take it that it will go through without too many hiccups, because in fairness to the council, they would have had and made contact from our meetings. They made contact with everyone that was involved. There might be one or two still outstanding, but everyone else would have had contact from them. Now, they did send out all the letters for the CPO. It should be a fairly straightforward process. If there's something, it can be looked at. It can be looked at, and the councillor are willing to sit with any of them small issues and look at them and try and get them resolved.
And that was Joe Sweeney, chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. Julie Wilson, who's from Castlefin, is currently completing her Master's in Business for Agri-Food and Rural Enterprise, and she's carrying out research on farmers' knowledge, attitude and behaviour towards blue tongue as part of her Master's. Julie, thanks for coming on to the programme. You are basically looking for people to fill out a survey. So tell me, what's it all about?
As you said, I'm completing my master's, and part of my master's, I have to complete a research project. So basically, I chose to do knowledge, attitude, and behaviours towards blue tongue. And this really, knowledge really influences your attitude, and then your attitude drives change of your behaviour. My questionnaire, you start off, it's going to ask you all about your demographics. And this really then is to link back further down the line, further when I'm analysing, I can go back and say, well, this age group actually has more knowledge than the older people, or the younger people have, they seem to be vaccinating, whereas the older people isn't, or the other way about. So it really starts with your demographics, and then you go on then. You say about your perceived knowledge, where you think you have not good knowledge or low knowledge in blue tongue, and then you have then your attitude. So this really, do you think, is it going to have a big impact on your farm? And if it does hit your farm, is it going to be significant? And then it goes on to your behaviours. In terms of vaccinating, it'll ask you about your vaccinating, or what has stopped you vaccinating, or has influenced your decision on vaccinating, and more about movement restrictions as well. Have you ever, has it ever stopped you selling?
So the fact that it's online and you'll have the questions done out and the format will be there for people, it shouldn't take them too long to complete?
No, just actually sitting all around 5-10 minutes. So it's 8 minutes that my average is on, I can see on Microsoft forums here. It's taking people an average of 8 minutes.
The link for it, it's been on Facebook, Clonlea Co-op, for example, it's there, and there's a link for people to go on and they can fill it out. What's the feedback been like so far? Have you got a lot of people? Has it been easier or harder to get people than you would have thought?
Yeah, well, overall so far, it's been very well supported. I have got a good few responses, but in terms, because it's all of Northern Ireland and Ireland, this is why the college kind of pushed me to get more responses, because realistically there's how many farms in Ireland, and if you're only taking 200 responses, that's only a very small percentage.
Yeah, and I take it it'll take quite a lot of work to bring it all the different strands together and to break it down into the sections and percentages and things like that.
Yeah, so I'll have to gather up all the responses now onto an Excel sheet, and then they'll be made into graphs, and I'll be presenting the graphs, and then I'll go on then to discuss it, what my research has found, and then really analyse it against other researches and see if they agree, or my results agree or like disagree with other papers that have said about blue tongue.
Now,
as I say, there hasn't been much research done at all in Ireland. Well, there's been a little bit done, but not since it has become a recent topic.
And that was Julie Wilson, who is completing her Master's in Business for Agri-Food and Rural Enterprise. And as part of that, she's carrying out that research on farmers' knowledge, attitude and behaviour towards blue tongue. Well, that's it for Farming News and Views for this week. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by K&F Superwool's Kilmacrenan, paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.